Hi, my name is Elisa Toussaint. I'm with the Lending Hub, the Real Estate Hub, and Toussaint and Associates. I am a licensed mortgage broker, a licensed real estate broker, and a paralegal, real estate paralegal.
Survive game. Learn how entrepreneurs started, sustain, and succeed.
Hey, it's Kellen, and today on Diversified Game, here in Palm Beach County, Green Acres to speak of, at the Lending Hub with the owner, who is like a triple B. One, she's a real estate broker. She's a mortgage broker. And she's from the Bronx. I think it all started in 1210 Birch Avenue.
Wow, yeah.
Third floor.
You did your research.
I'm nosy like that. Mm-hmm. So we're here in Florida with Miss Elise Toussaint.
Hello, everyone.
How do we get here from the Bronx? Let's just start there.
Well, let's just say it wasn't my choice. My dad relocated his job here in Florida. I wasn't exactly too happy because I was, I think I was 16 years old. So that means I was, I would have been a junior here in Florida. So I came here my junior year. So I left Evander Childs High School in the Bronx and started here at Ely High School in Pompano.
Okay. Was it culture shock, or did you find enough New Yorkers down here to say?
No, it was complete culture shock. As a matter of fact, because I was fresh from New York and lived there my whole life, they call me Rosie Perez because they said I had such a strong New York accent. So it wasn't the best of times, but it wasn't the worst.
Okay. And of course, because at that time, you know, Rosie Perez was like the, and still to this day for, you know, Afro-Latino woman, that's all that a lot of people know.
Right. Recognized. And yeah, publicly. That's true.
Yeah. And who knows, you might be able to fight like her too. So,
well, let's say I don't want to be tested.
Got you. I was talking about, you know, what workout routine, and you were saying I just got back into boxing, but something tells me you didn't take too much of a break. So it's just the feeling, because boxers know boxers. But, and I love that when women are doing martial arts, I think all women should do like jiu-jitsu and
That should be next on the list. I'm just, actually, I started with Haganah. I don't know if you've ever heard of Haganah.
No.
Haganah is a combination. It's Israeli self-defense. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's what they teach the Israeli soldiers. So you learn a little combat, a little gun action. So I was trained to utilize guns. Now, I'm not going to say I know it.
Pronounce
really
it again, because I know it as Krav Maga.
Yes, but that is a version of it, but it's not actually the same. But yeah, it's very similar.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. It's a combination of, you know, you learn some guns, you learn some self-defense techniques, how to disarm, how to, like, if someone has you in a certain position, how to flip yourself out, how to, you know, how to defend yourself.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. And plus you learn, you know, some kickboxing, some actual boxing, some wrestling. It's a little bit of everything, kind of all, you know, broken down into steps.
Okay.
I did that for a very small period of time, so I can't even really comment too much on it.
But don't test her. don't test her. No. So coming here and, you know, trying to blend in or find out how things work in, you know, South Florida, Palm Beach, you know, for that young person, because I'm sure somebody during the pandemic did it or is going to do it now, and they're kicking and screaming, even though the world might be smaller now because of the social media aspect we have now. People can kind of see. You can go to, you know, Israel right now without leaving. But what was, like, one of the major, like, things that you had to adapt to?
The sound. I'm from the Bronx. I'm used to music and city life and just a melting pot of everybody kind of knowing each other. I grew up in Eastchester Project, so it's like, you know who your neighbors are. People don't usually move too much in New York, at least from where I was from. So you grow up with the same people all the way up from, like, preschool all the way up to high school, unless you change from, like, private to public, which is what we did. So I think because of that, I'm more well-rounded. And I think I'm also the pace. People here in Florida, when you're first coming from New York, they're much slower pace. I mean, the vibe, the beat, everything is different. Everything's different.
Okay. Now, in hindsight, since you were kind of kicking and screaming and weren't happy leaving your friends that you knew for life,
yes.
In hindsight, was it a great move? Did it save you from any dramas that, you know, people get into, you know, down the line at 17, 18, trying to figure life out with all the temptations and hustle in New York?
I would say this. Yes and no. No, because my parents, my mother, so strict. There was no way. She was always five steps ahead of me, so she stopped me anyways. I could barely breathe in New York anyway. So, however, you learn certain things when you are in one environment and then you go to another. For example, I didn't know we were poor, or at least, you know, when you're in, you know, you grew up in an Eastchester projects versus, you know, suburbia, coming into suburbia life in Florida, it is a culture shock because you start realizing what you had and what you didn't have because now you're presented with other things and other options. So I would say they did an excellent job of, you know, allowing me to grow up with values and still be in that type of culture and still raise a good, independent-minded person.
Okay, okay. No, that's, I just think, you know, we look at from crime to teenage pregnancy, parents are always trying to figure out where's the best place, but the same thing that could happen in the suburbs can happen in the hood,
and
the best drugs are in the suburbs.
Absolutely. I think it has to start from home, however way you're raised and what you're used to, and then there has to be a certain point where somebody just says, okay, I get I grew up in this environment, but I'm not going to be like this, and this is why, or I'm going to be like this because of this, or in spite of this. So you always have a choice of who you're going to become or how you're going to be based on what it is that you receive or how you perceive it.
Okay. Side note, that one for London and Sydney, my daughters, and this is my Telemundo commercial where we don't take commercials, we just do this. Mm-hmm. London and Sydney, where our book is inspired by, that's what I'm staying on you because you can become a triple threat in all that you do. And become a real estate broker, a mortgage broker, a paralegal.
Right.
And I love that what it looked like when I was doing my research that, you know, you started as a paralegal, but you didn't want to stop there. But you now have a better understanding probably of, you know, the law and how that works in most real estate people who might just take a course, even online, and they think, oh, I got it figured out. Can you talk about the journey and if I got it correct?
Okay.
You know, did you start from paralegal and then what made you say, I want to keep getting move up and not just become, you know, someone who shows people houses, but somebody who manages the people who do that?
Okay, that's an excellent question. So the first point is, no, I started in the mortgage industry when I was about, I don't know, I say 18 or 19, but probably, let's just say I was really involved when I was in my 20s, early 20s. So what that means is I learned from the ground up. I worked for Transamerica Financial Services, and Transamerica Financial Services did mortgages. When I started, I was hired as a processor, and at that time it was called branch coordinator. So I took in the payments, managed the, you know, taking in the payments, balanced the books, wrote the checks, paid the bills, typed up the loan documents, because back then, yes, I predated the computers. We had to type it on that, you know, that three copy paper, you know, what is that? Yeah. That copy paper
the thing? Carbon.
The carbon copies, yeah. You know, pull the credit on the thermal paper. So I go way back, we won't talk about how old I am. But I feel like that was the perfect ground, like ground zero to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm some of the masterminds of mortgage industry I met there. You know, learning, listening to them sell or listening to what the point is or you know, being in compliance. So I started there. I would say I grew up in the mortgage industry when the market crashed, and I think that was for me like 2007. I think it was. That's when everything crashed and, you know, things started changing around me. I had to go back and reevaluate my choice in the mortgage industry because at that time, I didn't go to school. I went straight from, you know, my education with just, you know, high school. And I went right into mortgages and I grew up from there. I went from the processor, I got promoted to a loan officer, and you know, there you do skip tracing and collection, so you learn everything from the ground up. So it was great for me, just having that experience. And then when the market crashed, I had to reinvent myself because a lot of people, you know, sadly, people committed suicide. People didn't know what to do. You find yourself with no money when you're in your 20s with a lot of money early on in life, and you don't even have a college degree. So I was super proud of myself, but then that was associated with my identity. So now I had to go back and say, okay, what am I going to do? What can I change? And how do I fix this situation? Because now I don't know what to do. So what I ended up doing is going back to school. I signed up for Colorado Technical University. And I was going to just do something, you know, business, just a regular business course. And at that time, I ended up working for a real estate office and handling their mortgage in the back room. So I was in their mortgage department. It was the first time they started a mortgage office space. And from there, I spoke with the broker. She's like, why don't you, while you're here, why don't you get your license and do real estate? So while that was all happening, one of my friends that I met there that was a realtor at, you know, at this real estate office. It was called Home Run Real Estate, by the way, Home Run Real Estate, which is now known as ERA Home Run Real Estate. So when I met Shoshana Gifford, she introduced me to Aubin Robinson. And Aubin Robinson was starting his foreclosure department because he specialized in family law. And at that time, he had me do the modifications. Modifications, because of the market crashing, a lot of people were losing their homes. So one of the options was to do a modification, short sale, deed in lieu of. So those were your options to save your house at the time. So I handled the paperwork. I got paid in per diem, you know, by increments and stages as I did the paperwork to move people through the process. He liked the way I worked. And then at some point, he said, you know what? I want to train you to be a paralegal. I want you to change your major, and I want you to become a paralegal. And I got invited to work in his office, which I did for a few years. And that is my whole entry into paralegal, real estate paralegal.
So you're going to school and, or because you didn't just start with one degree. You did a couple degrees from Colorado. So you're going to school and doing paralegal at the same time and working. Woo!
Yeah, I did a lot.
You sure you don't have some Jamaican in you?
I might.
You definitely got that New York hustle in you.
For sure.
Okay, so, and tell people, I kind of, you know, did the spoiler alert, but you're doing the paralegal, you're going to school, and then tell them how you just keep going and you want to do your master's and how you fit that time in.
Yeah. So, basically, at some point, I wanted to explore other options and decided, you know, I want to, instead of working with this attorney, let me try something else. So I freelanced for a while as a contract paralegal, and then I eventually ended up working for ADT corporate headquarters, and I worked in the deceptive sales division. So I did some of that, affidavit, stuff like that. So I started learning more and expanding on the paralegal side. Meanwhile, while I was there, I was faced with a choice because I always loved law. So that was my passion, and I always thought I was going to become an attorney. So at that point, I decided to do my, I did my associate's, I told you, in paralegal studies. Then I did my bachelor's in criminal justice. But before I made that decision, I was still thinking about the, you know, going to law school. But because you had to go to an actual brick and mortar, I didn't find myself having the time to do it all, meaning full-time studying, full-time going, you know, working at ADT and stuff like that. But the interesting thing is I met some friends, and one of them did the very thing. She went to law school, and we were working together as paralegals at ADT. So at the end of the day, it's all about your frame of mind. How bad do you want it? So I was at that crossroad. I did that, but then I ended up realizing, and I hope I'm not going on a tangent, my value of time. Because when you're punching a clock and you're not used to punching a clock, at some point, because I told you I freelance and I was doing like the contract work, I started thinking, oh my goodness, I need to open my own company. I can't be here like this. I was just getting bored with the work. I mean, when you're working on a team to put together a case, a lot of the stuff you do is repetitive. It's still work. You still have to use your brain, but it's repetitive. So I got bored. I eventually ended up opening a small branch while I did this on the side, and then I started building my way into, you know, my own mortgage brokerage in time.
Okay, you can go on a tangent. That's what this is all about.
Okay.
So you get the game, but you get your mortgage brokerage, you're in real estate, you have the paralegal, but you also have an MBA, and tell them about your other master's degree that you have.
No, that's the only master's. I have the MBA in finance.
The MBA is in finance. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So my associate's is paralegal, and then criminal justice is my bachelor's.
Okay. What made you say, I'm going to go get, which some will say, oh, the most useless master's ever, but for the folks who it's winning, they never say that, right? But it's the person who's like, man, I'm working at Delta with an MBA, and they're frustrated, so they project that. What made you go say, I want to go do my MBA?
For me, I started something, so it was a challenge. Like, okay, I got my associates. Let me see how far up I can go. And I challenged myself to do that because I'm like, I just had to feel like I'm excelling in something while I'm growing my steps into business. Mm-hmm. So that was just an achievement mark for me. I felt like if you're not going to be an attorney, you're not going to do this, you're not going to do that, well, you're at least going to get your MBA.
Okay. And there's some attorneys that I know too who say I'm making $25,000 a year because they're not cutthroat. So they say, you know, and you have to be somewhat of a cutthroat depending on, you know, what you do. There's 100 ways
to. No, but you're 100% right. I know plenty of attorneys that, you know, they feel like they went and they studied, they did all of this, and they spent so much and they owe so much in loans, and they're wondering, okay, what did I do wrong, or where is my next step? And sometimes you end up crossing over, but doesn't that happen to everybody? You have this whole path, this life choice, and then you come to this moment in time where you're like, okay, what do I do and where do I go? And sometimes that's your breakthrough moment, where something that you didn't know that you were going to do or that you were capable of doing, that's when you kind of like just bust through. So it's important to recognize that moment, recognize that you're frustrated, recognize that you're in a standstill, sit there, acknowledge it, but then just push through, because right over that line is where your breakthrough moment is. And that's what every good book is about, every, you know, best-selling author is about. Like, everyone's past that challenge. So that's the one thing that I could say, if I'm going to give anybody advice, is no matter what you're doing, what your career is, or what's going on in your life, just keep pushing and remember that there's always hope tomorrow. Things change in a day, you know, and nothing stays the same. So if you're always pushing through till you just break through, then you're going to be the next story that people are going to want to hear about.
For that 14-year-old who's listening and says, wait, okay, I know what a real estate agent does, but a mortgage broker, and sometimes you have even a 33-year-old about to buy their first house and they don't know. And so then they might come to you and ask you things that, like, look, I can help you, but that's not necessarily, I can't guarantee you anything. Can you talk about why you wanted to do both here at the Lending Hub? Why was that important to be able to, you know, have that type of power, really, to help people, especially because this is like the biggest purchase most people are ever going to buy?
Absolutely. Well, first thing is, I always believe that he who has the money controls the game. So if you know where to follow the money, this is what they always tell you. Mm-hmm. So if you know and you have a good concept of what it takes to tell a person or help a person get qualified to purchase, then their next step is to start shopping. So that's crucial. So the difference with me versus, I guess, any other mortgage person out there is, let's just say for whatever reason you don't qualify and you're not ready and you have those questions. Mm-hmm. I actually sit there and take the time to explain it. I'm taking my personal time out to explain to you, answer all your questions, and then I do what's called an action plan. I'll tell you, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, put deadlines on it, and then we check in with each other so that when it's time for you to be, you know, ready, then we'll go for it. You're not just another number to me. You're an actual person that I'm helping, and that's what makes me feel good and makes it worth what I do. And that's why I do both, because at the end of the day, you have some realtors that you cannot comment on financing. Mm-hmm. It's illegal for them to quote you rates, tell you anything that has to do with the math part, because a realtor's job is to show you property and follow that pre-qualification letter and make sure they're within those guidelines, so that when they do get you into contract for a home, you're in a home that you actually qualify for. Yeah. So being able to do both and have both hats, it's just like, you know, one stop, meaning you have this question, you have this question. It's nice to be able to well-roundedly help a person. And sometimes I don't do both roles for a person. Sometimes I can still just speak on it and give them that guidance that they're looking for.
Have you ever been the buyer's agent, the seller's agent, and handle the lending, like, in the state? I don't know the laws,
I will say I have done both sides of the transaction, uh-huh. and I have done multiple transactions for people. There are guidelines in which you have to comply, where it has to be a certain type of loan or mm-hmm. done a certain type of way. But yes, the answer is true. Yes, I've been able to do both sides, mm-hmm. and my clients get both benefits. And the nice thing is, not many people know the law when it comes to, like, the real estate part. Now, I'm not an attorney, and I have to disclose that, so I cannot quote the law. Not yet, right? And I can't advise you on that. But in terms of real estate and mortgages, yes, I'm an expert that I can speak on that, and I do have the background and credentials to back it up.
Geek out with us real quick and just let us know at least one type of loan or term that you can do all of those things, just because I want to know what, like you said, is
conventional. And that could be any type of conventional loan, debt service loan, conventional first-time home buyer. Mm-hmm. There's so many different, you know, levels, but I would say government loans, they frown upon that. I'll just say that for the most part.
Okay. And I'm thinking, like, and unfortunately, many communities, but especially Black and Afro-Latina communities, like, when people pass, there's always some confusion of who gets what. And I can see someone like you coming in and saying, look, grandma's house, this is what we're going to do. And I can handle it on both sides. Yeah. I just need, you know, okay, we know you love abuela, but this person, you know, let's just do it like this so it's not messy. With that, and you're running this, and you said, you know, you're not going to say your age, but nobody could guess it. Black don't crack, you know, unless you smoke it. Now, if y'all smoking it up and got, you know, the hash every night, cada loco con su tema, to each his own. And I know you like your cigars, we'll get into that later, but I mean smoking something else, you know, Whitney, Bobby. But, you know, with growing this business, like, what have been some of the challenges, young woman, small woman at that, going into, I would guess, a male game, a white male game at that, and being taken seriously while you drive in your exotic, you know, beautiful cars?
How do I answer that? Well, it is a challenge because, first of all, like you said, you know, I'll walk into an office and sometimes they'll look at me and they won't even recognize me for who I am. It's like, okay. So it's all about your presence and how you answer and how you feel. Because you cannot let anyone dictate and make and determine how you should feel or how you represent yourself. And if you don't feel like you're being treated fairly or you don't like what they say, well, guess what? There's other doors you can knock on and there's other people that are going to actually genuinely want to help you. So I went with that approach. And then I did also go with what I can control. So, you know, knock on another door, talk to another friend, and maybe take another softer approach, go through a friend and have them refer me. Sometimes that's better than just walking in cold.
Okay. It's always about, you know, not who you know, and this is a Mr. Knowles comment, but who knows you? And if someone knows you, it's always easier to get a yes.
That's true.
You know. Mm-hmm. 2 months ago, I had locks and everything. My hair was long, all natural. And people were saying, you're a business consultant. You're an executive coach, sports agent. What? You know, you're wearing these funky clothes. Mm-hmm. But I have enough people who say, this guy's made me some money.
Right.
And he's organized not just my business, but my life. And it helped. Because at 20, at 18, it was not easy. So I could only assume when you're in this game that people look at you and, hey, go get some coffee.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me. Or you're just a baby. You couldn't possibly know what you're talking about until they heard me talk.
Yeah. 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 That's the thing of when you don't age like some people.
Right.
And it's like, man, am I going to have to get gray hairs all through for y'all to put some respect on my experience? I've done this for 20 years. So let's talk about, you know, I was talking about your cigars, whatnot. Is that one of your vices? Are you like a Steve Harvey, you know, expert in cigars? You can tell a Cuban versus a Tampa?
I wouldn't go that far, but what I would say is I enjoy a very nice cigar every now and then. I can talk about the seeds. I can talk about the leaves. The aroma. I've always loved it, but I won't say... It's something that is my once in a blue moon thing Sometimes the moon is blue a little bit more often than other times, depending on who I'm around.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just my thing, you know. Okay. My boss move? No.
Now, we're in South Florida where we are so blessed to have so many different cultures, whatnot. You were talking about you coming from, you know, New York, where everybody is, some would say, on top of each other. So you got to know and smell your neighbor, you know, whether right. it's curry cooking, depending on which parts mm-hmm. of the world. How have you, you know, adapted or found out, like, being Black and Puerto Rican, which I kind of find is, like, funny. I'm like, well, Puerto Rican is always Black to me. Like, but I told you my New York stories. I didn't see differences except somebody can speak Spanish
and right.
somebody can't. But the histories are so intertwined, and slavery as well. And so, like, how, you know, have you gone through that here in South Florida, especially where when someone meets you, hola, you know, and they want to know, donde eres, and they want to know where you're from, whether, are you Jamaican, are you Haitian, are you Dominican, are you Puerto Rican, are you, you know, where are you from? Like, how has that been for you?
It's interesting, because before they even ask your name, they're asking you where you're from, which I found that was strange, especially mm-hmm. in New York, you know, you know their name, you're talking to them, it's just a normal thing. But here, you're classified and you're put into a box before they even know your name. But anyways, with that being said, my dad's Puerto Rican. I come from a mixed background, so it's just interesting. I don't even know how to explain that one, but I don't identify as one thing or not the other. I think it just makes me more well-rounded, and I just so happen to be a Puerto Rican that doesn't speak Spanish. I wasn't born in Puerto Rico. So some people take offense to that when they meet me, because they assume that maybe I'm ashamed or I'm not speaking the language because, you know, I choose not to because I think I'm too good in it. And none of it is true. But, you know, all I try to do is talk to people and make them feel comfortable. And then, like you said, being mixed like that, everybody thinks that you're somebody's cousin. You look just like my cousin. You look just like my sister. You look... So having that familiarity of people recognizing you and you feeling automatically like family to them, I think that's an advantage for me, especially with my personality. They feel that warmthness. And then when they have that association already, it's like just a soft intro into, and then I'm trying to help them get their house. So they feel like, oh, this is my sister Lisa, or this is my cousin Lisa that's going to hook me up. Lisa's there. She's going to help me. So it makes them already feel like they're at home. And I love that about me. And I love that about the relationship with my people.
Okay. And you say you don't speak Spanish, but if people start talking about you, will you entend this?
Well, the antennas go up. You know, there's certain word recognition that I would say I have. Yeah.
Okay. Have you been to Puerto Rico?
Many times.
Okay. And even in Puerto Rico, and this is for the travelers out there, especially the passport bros, because they watch the YouTubes and, mm-hmm. oh, you can go out here. Do you not need Spanish in San Juan when you're
not here? Really. A lot of people in Puerto Rico were from New York. I mean, a lot of them are from New York. They speak both languages. You're going to find a few people that speak just Spanish. You know, you work your way through it, and that's what Google translates for.
Okay.
You get stuck. If someone can't translate for you, then you use your Google Translate, or if you have to go old school, you go charades.
Do you
just work it out.
Do you find that even outside of San Juan, it's the same thing? Many people are speaking English and Spanish?
Yes. Yeah, that was my experience.
Okay.
You know, you have pockets of people that just speak Spanish, but I guess I was lucky enough to be in it. Plus, I spend most of my time in San Juan.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I asked that. I worked in Massachusetts, in New England, Springfield, Mass, and Holyoke, and some folks, it's like Puerto Ricans, you know, you just to know a little will help you, because
yeah,
they're,
a couple of words,
you know,
yeah.
You talk to a 17-year-old who was born here, but he just, for whatever reason, it never clicked. And again, this is a place in America, there is no official language. So
right.
whatever you speak, I don't care what it is, we're going to get through it. Even if you come out and speaking like a Martian, I got mm-hmm. that too, because I'm going to telepathically go, you
of
know.
Of course, I'm going to zoom in. Let's put it this way. I'm never going to starve. I know how to order food.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to ask for help, and I know how to order a drink, and I know how to ask if you want to dance, because I love to dance. That's another thing.
And sing. You like to dance and sing, you know.
Well, you really did some research on me. I enjoy it sometimes.
Yeah, we got to catch you at the karaoke. Oh, yeah. The karaoke might be here, y'all. You know, send in the comments if you wanted to, you know, to
come
party.
To the next party. We'll have to see when that's going to be.
And you're bueno. Like, you're good.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank
it's,
you.
It's, you know, it's, I mean, I need the producers. If anything was going to be put out there, you got to make it sound like a little, little make it sound like me and Barry White were going hand to hand.
Yeah, it was fun, especially, you know, when I get together with my sisters or my friends, you know, and you just being yourself, that's the best part.
Now, the best part in life, after you've started winning, making some money, hiring, you know, whether it's a little bit or a lot, just being able to help other people and work with other people. Like, I tell people, we're doing life together. I'm not a one-night stand when you hire us. If we can't do life, don't even think about it, because mm-hmm. I'm looking at the deeper picture. But the best part of life is always giving. What is a community give back that you're doing or that you would like to do in the future?
Well, one of my main give backs is I'm Talented Teen Club. I'm a mentor for Talented Teen Club. Sean does an excellent job of bringing the children together. They come here to my office. They're very enthused about learning real estate or mortgages. They have their questions. We do little classroom settings. I open up. I give them little tests. Sometimes I go visit Sean at her location as well and just offer my services just to give back because, you know, I believe that children are our future. I mean, just like the song.
Yes, true, true. And again, London and Sydney have been at Talented Teen Club. I like them to spend their summers here when we are here. And I'm doing my other Telemundo, you know, commercial. Mm-hmm. With what you see in the youth now, we hear a lot of people say the young people don't want to work. The young people don't want to learn. What are you seeing versus when, you know, we all grew up and you were forced to go play outside? There was no, you can be inside all day because there was no tablet. There was none of this.
True.
You know, that TV better be off because that's an energy bill and, you know, so are the lights. So how are you seeing young people, you know, right now? And what would be like a tip that you give someone to maybe shake a habit or create a habit in their life?
The phones. I would say less with the phones. I mean, I've actually seen children sit here right next to each other and they're texting each other. Talk, have a conversation, verbalize. I believe that these skills are getting diminished because of they're not using their vocal skills. They're not interacting like they should. They're not playing outside. I feel like the world is changing and all they know is tech. You have to be more well-rounded than that, because at the end of the day, what are you going to do if technology, for whatever reason, stops working? I mean, look what happened to the, you know, pandemic, or when we have any type of natural disasters when there's no internet or there's no electricity. How are you going to survive if this is where your mind is always? You have to know how to disconnect and show them another way and teach them while they're young so they can be able to adapt better than when they're caught in a natural disaster and they freak out for 2.5 seconds because they don't know how to be. That's scary.
Okay. And we have now movies that I believe Obama either produced or consulted with on Netflix that show when everything stops how useless some people are. No farming skills,
none. It's sad.
Yeah. You talk about communication skills. We recently came back from Asia, my family and I, and Japan, as beautiful and as it is, as friendly as the people are, and you can see it on YouTube too, but it's real life. When they're even on a date, on the train,
right.
They're just texting.
Exactly. It's crazy.
And it's the reason why their population, they don't have a big population of young people, and it's mostly older because, of course, there's not enough relations of all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can kind of see, but they're so technologically advanced. It's like they're not missing anything in their mind. It's almost like we're becoming, some of our kids, like they're going to be Japanese, and then maybe they will not say, relationships for what? I have a cyborg. I have a robot. Where do you think we're going with it? Will we ever get to a point where you think, you know, people just talk to their phone all day, and that's their boyfriend, girlfriend, mother, father, all that?
At the rate we're going, it's possible. I mean, artificial intelligence is just that. It's artificial. Be more organic. Know who you are and be who you are and be more well-rounded is the best thing that I could say.
Okay. And I could say so much, but I don't want to give everything away that I have on my mind, because I could do a Joe Rogan podcast with you where we could be 3 hours. We'd have to crack over that wine or something.
That's fine with me.
But I want to save something because I want to talk about, you have more ventures coming up in, this is your media room.
Yes.
And you're going to be podcasting and YouTubing.
Correct.
I want you to just give them a sneak peek because I want them to bother you and tune in. Great storytellers always leave more.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to tell them what you're going to be filming, what your content's going to be about, and I'll make sure I have links in the description.
Sounds good. So I'm going to be talking about mortgages. I'm going to give you some little first-time home buyer tips. Number one, I'm going to talk about some tips. I'm going to talk about some do's and don'ts. I'm going to be leaving myself open so that I can answer your questions. I'm also going to be talking about real estate. Okay, where's a good place to buy? Where's the new construction happening? What are the price points? What are the pitfalls? What's going on in the industry? What's going on in the real estate industry? I'm going to have some special guests that are going to come here that are either attorneys, or they're investigators, or they're actual clients that had an experience, good or bad. We're going to talk about it. I may have an underwriter here, an appraiser, credit repair, both business and personal. I'm going to try to just bring people here that's going to be able to offer you guys something of education, something of value where you feel like, wow, I learned something. I didn't know that. Okay, cool. I'm going to start setting up. Let me give her a call. Let me ask these questions. I'm going to make myself open so I can do that for you guys. And then one of the ideas I had down the road, we'll see. And maybe I shouldn't even say it. I don't know. But I'm going to have this channel and I'm thinking of adding something fun. I don't know about you guys, but everything I'm hearing from my girlfriends and even my guy friends about dating has been horrible. Especially when you're getting into, you know, our age bracket, you know, 40 and up, I would say, even in between. Just getting opinions, maybe having a little consult with a few girls, talk about a little dates, maybe do a little newlywed, not newlywed, what was that show called?
The dating game. Game.
Yeah, the dating game. I'm thinking about doing something fun like that and just, you know, getting your feedback. But before I do, is that something that anybody's even interested in? Are you interested in meeting, being set up for a date or being considered for this blind date opportunity here locally in Green Acres, Florida? If that's something that is of interest, write us back and let me know. We'll have you on the show if we actually get it going.
I'm going to tell you off air, I helped a creator create something here in South Florida that she didn't like it once she started getting some traction. But there's some very popular shows out there that are doing it. It's a very hot market. And me being the date doctor with, you know, 4 marriages that I've connected.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah. I'd love to see something like this. I like watching it because, and we'll talk off air about some of my other connections.
Yeah, that'd
but
be great.
It's all about you. It's all about you, people, really, too. Mm-hmm. When you need your real estate, when you need your mortgage broker, when you need just, now we know, dating show, where you need to come. I want to leave something more so you guys will be excited about these things. I could do this all day, every day. So you just let me know. But now, audience, it's on you. I need you to like this stuff. I need you to subscribe to it. Look in the description box and go follow and, you know, go link in. Say, hey, I like this. Make comments. But most importantly, I need you to share this game with somebody. It will change their life. You guys, be blessed.
Hello everyone! Join us on an exciting journey with Explore the World Cameroon. London and Sydney will take you explore Cameroon, the heart of Africa. Experience the vibrant culture, nature, and traditions from Yaoundé Market to rainforest adventures. Every page a new discovery. Enjoy the Cameroonian food, music, and wildlife with our explorers. This book is a true celebration of Cameroon spirit. Get your copy now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through your library and bookstores via Ingram's Park. Don't miss this adventure.
Hi, everyone. Have you ever been curious about visiting Africa? Which African country were you interested in? Kenya, Nigeria, Uganda, South Africa, Ethiopia? Which country are you interested in? My good friend, Kellen Cash Coleman, came up with a course called My First Trip to Africa that'll guide you through this process. It's only $20, and in this course you'll learn about passports, visas, vaccinations that you need before you go there, as well as a budget, how much the trip is going to cost. He also talks about what you should pack, what you should take with you, how you should travel on a budget. Did you know that $100 is worth 1,000 South African rand and over 10,000 Kenyan shillings? So imagine what you can do with $100 back home. I say back home because I'm from Sudan, I'm African, I already know how it's like. I know that, you know, when you convert Canadian and American money, it goes a long way when you're traveling across Africa. So if you're curious, if Africa is a place that you've always wanted to go, always wanted to move there, Kellen Cash is the person to ask. Check out the course, there's a little preview you can listen to before you actually purchase it. If you're interested in this course, visit www.diversifiedgame.com. Don't miss out.